Hey everyone, welcome to That's a Good Question, a podcast of Peace Church and a part of Resound Media. You can find more great content for the Christian life and church leaders at resoundmedia.cc. That's a Good Question is a place where we answer questions about the Christian faith in plain language. I'm Mitch, and you can always submit questions to peacechurch.cc/questions. Today, I'm here with Pastor Logan.
Hello.
I'm filling in for Pastor John because he is sick and we are wishing him well and he'll be back next week. We are just 2 weeks away from Holy Week and we would love to answer questions about Holy Week, Good Friday, Easter, and et cetera. So send them. We would love to have those questions back on here in the coming weeks. But let's jump into this week's questions.
We're ready.
And these are all centered around kind of the unforgivable sin. So let's jump into this first question. In 1 John chapter 5, John talks about the sin that leads to death and the sin that does not lead to death. What is sin that leads to death? 1 John 5:16-17 says this: if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death.
Yo, and this clearly has to do or is related to the unforgivable sin. That's what First John is talking about. Mm-hmm. Is there is a sin that leads to death. There is a sin that you can commit that you cannot be forgiven for. And I think that it's scary to think about that. There are people throughout history that you can look up and read about, or people that we even know or in our own experience who terrified that we've committed this unforgivable sin.
Yeah.
In other places in scripture, it's referred to as blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which I know mm-hmm. the next question asks more specifically about, but this idea of sin that leading to death, sin that doesn't lead to death. My first thought right off the gate is praise God that there is a sin. There are sins that don't lead to death because mm-hmm. there's forgiveness
yeah,
of sin.
Absolutely.
It's not saying, John is not saying there is sin that you can commit that doesn't damn you to hell.
Yeah.
Not all sins are equal. I know it's like a cliche that people say, like mm-hmm. murder is worse than being angry at someone, yeah. but both sins are damnable mm-hmm. because every sin, regardless of what it is, can send you to hell. Taking fruit off a tree when God told not to was enough to damn Adam and Eve, barring one thing, the forgiveness of their God. And so praise God that we have forgiveness from sin in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is such an important question. What is this sin that leads to death? It's not the first time that this was asked. In fact, in the Heidelberg kind of summarizes this question. 87 says this: can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and unrepentant ways?
See, I love that, because sin, it is something that leads to death. Mm-hmm. The wages of sin is death. The only escape from that is the forgiveness of God. And so that points out that the sin that leads to death is sin that is not forgiven.
Yeah.
Which then leads right into unforgivable sin. That would be a sin that leads to death. I think that it's awesome whenever we quote the Heidelberg or the Belgic Confession mm-hmm. or the Canons of Dort, because if you go on our website right now and you go to our statements of faith, yeah. it'll point you to those three documents. We call them the three forms of unity. So I love whenever we can bring them out.
Yeah.
And
they're not the,
them.
They're not the Bible, but they've stood the test of time. They help us to understand the Bible better.
Right.
They're yeah. always rooted in scripture. They're awesome.
So can you read that one more time? I think it's more helpful than words we give.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
yeah.
Can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and unrepentant ways? That's the question. And the answer is this: by no means. Scripture tells us that no unchaste person, no idolater, no adulterer, thief, or no covetous person, no drunkard, slanderer, or robber, or like these shall enter the kingdom of heaven. The hope and the good news of this, it sounds scary, it sounds like bad news, but the good news of this is that this is not a one-time thing. This is not a sin that you could not knowingly commit.
Yeah.
This is a sin that is a deliberate refusal to believe in Jesus, to follow his commands, and to love the brothers, specifically in this passage. That's yeah. what it's talking about.
Yeah.
I love how William Tyndale, he's the guy who first translated the Bible into English, so he's got some pretty good stuff to say, but he said, this is a sin which is resisting grace and fighting against mercy.
Mm.
I love just how simple that is. Mm. It's resisting grace and fighting against mercy.
I think that is almost spot on. Praise God, there is grace. Reading the Bible, being around church enough, you think an unforgivable sin?
Yeah.
That sounds crazy, but we just get like the crazy thing is that there's any forgiveness at all.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy thing is that there is any sin that could not lead to death. Like, praise God, there is forgiveness. And so it's, I love that quote because it's pointing out, hey, there's an unforgivable sin because there's a such thing as grace and there's a such thing as mercy from our God.
Yeah.
And if you are rejecting those things, then you'll miss out on the glorious, all just incredible, awe-inspiring forgiveness that does exist.
Yeah.
So if you're rejecting the forgiveness.
If you hate his forgiveness, if you hate his mercy, he says, all right, you don't get it.
Right.
The second question is this, what does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? And I think before we get into that question, I'd love to, for us just to define blasphemy for a second. It sounds like a big church word.
Yeah.
But if someone was to ask you, what is blasphemy? You teach to students, say a student were to ask you, what is blasphemy? It sounds like a big church word. What would you say?
Yeah, someone in our church came up and asked, what does blasphemy mean? There's a few different words that you could use. I think of being against, like speaking words of, I'm against the Holy Spirit. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit would be, I'm against the Holy Spirit. I'm offending the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always thought of blasphemy as a way, specifically against God, it's when someone says something untrue, hurtful about God, and they're doing it on purpose to show that they don't respect him.
Respect is a good,
I
think, word as well. And I think that for people that might be afraid of having committed the unforgivable sin, having blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, if you're afraid of it, you probably haven't done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like actually what Augustine says. Augustine makes the point that the unforgivable sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, isn't a single act as much as it is a state of your heart, a hardness of heart that continues and lasts and is unchanging despite, like you just referenced, Tyndale said, the grace and mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
So a hardness of heart that is unchanging, doesn't soften. The idea of you afraid, have I offended? Have I blasphemed? Have I committed the unforgivable sin? That's a sign that you haven't, because that's a sign of a soft heart, that you're actually, you don't want to offend God.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're, the state of your heart is one that is soft and is open to repentance.
Yeah. And so this idea all comes from Mark chapter 3. It's also in Matthew. But here's the passage where this is coming from, the idea of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Verse 28 says this, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemes they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they were saying he has an unclean spirit." And this is all couched in a story where...
this is huge. Context of this is huge.
People are assaulting Jesus's character by saying that he does miracles on behalf of Beelzebub or on behalf of the devil. And then this is Jesus's response. So it kind of seems kind of crazy, even hearing those two things together, but I'd love for you to unpack that.
Oh man, I think you just did a good job of explaining the context. He is speaking to religious leaders when he says this. He has them in mind. He's looking at them and saying, if there is an unpardonable sin, right after they are accusing him of casting out demons by demons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would be like the blasphemy, right? Speaking against the Holy Spirit's work, speaking against the Holy Spirit's ministry. I think that right before this encounter, at least in Matthew's account, Matthew 12:28, before Jesus says anything about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, he says this, "If it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. If it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." They are saying it's by demons that he casts out demons.
Yeah.
That is attributing the work of the Holy Spirit to demons.
Yeah.
That is a clear picture of a of speaking against the ministry of God.
Yeah.
And it's not a single act as much as it is a sign of their unrepentant heart, that they are standing before God God the Son,
mm-hmm.
who is doing the ministry of God the Holy Spirit and God the Father, right? God is doing things and they're attributing what God is doing to Satan.
Yeah, something that's clearly divine, that's clearly of God, saying, nope, this is demonic, this is evil. It's a wholehearted rejection of good.
Yeah, the state of their heart mm-hmm. is one of rejection, not repentance.
Yeah.
And that's the difference, because he says, if the Spirit of God, or if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God has come upon you.
Yeah.
There's two things that can happen mm-hmm. when the kingdom of God shows up.
Yeah.
Forgiveness or damnation. And the state of your heart is showing signs of eternal ruin.
Yeah.
You are headed towards damnation because you are refusing the repentance I'm offering.
Yeah. They've seen an act of the Holy Spirit. They've seen something amazing.
And they're saying no.
And they're like, nope, don't like it.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, a really clear way to say, bringing that into our context, what happens in our hearts when we see something clearly of the Holy Spirit? Do we run towards it or reject it and run away from it?
The ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this passage has a lot of baggage that comes along with it. Mm-hmm. There have been some unfaithful people, pastors that have interpreted this. So let me just ask this question. What would be some sins that are forgivable that some people have called the unforgivable sin? One of the big classic ones is suicide. The idea that, I think this is maybe more of a Catholic thing, but the idea that you need your final confession before you die.
Okay.
And the idea is if someone's committing suicide, they can't have that. And therefore they're...
I think that that's probably the best example, unless you have more, but that does sound like a good example of what could be falsely called the unforgivable sin.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Judas, mm-hmm. who he goes and kills himself after betraying Jesus.
Yeah.
While Peter, after betraying Jesus, runs back to Jesus. Man, that scene, you know, that idea that Jesus is on the beach, he's on the boat, he sees Jesus, he's jumping in the water. Everyone else is sailing back, he's swimming back.
Yeah.
Peter ran back to Jesus mm-hmm. after sinning against him.
Yeah.
Judas ran from Jesus after sinning against him. And his suicide wasn't the unforgivable sin.
Correct.
But it's demonstrating this. We know the state, or we see signs of what the state of Judas's heart was.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't repentance. Yeah. It was rejection.
Yeah. Some other ones would be like murder or adultery, denying Jesus under the threat of persecution, or taking the Lord's name in vain. These were all examples that I saw throughout.
We have biblical evidence that those are forgiven.
Yeah. And that was what everyone said as I was putting this together. They're like, these are forgivable. Right. I mean, you think about murder and adultery. I mean, prime example would be David. He committed both of those and God forgave him.
David is a man after God's own heart, not because he was sinless, mm-hmm. But because he knew how to repent.
Yeah.
I think this part of the conversation highlights, like, it's not about thinking of what single acts mm-hmm. are the most heinous, because that dismisses the fact that we opened with of any sin. It's not that all sins are equally sinful or bad, right? Like, again, murder's worse than anger,
mm-hmm.
But both, any sin, no matter what it is a rejection of God's holiness. It's a rejection of God's goodness. It's a negligence to honor him. You know, any sin is enough to damn you mm-hmm. because every sin leads to death. That is what sin earns you mm-hmm. is death.
Yeah.
And so when we try to, rank sins and see which one crosses that line, I think it misses the point that, every sin crosses that line.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I think one of the confusing ones for people, I've heard this. I remember growing up in youth group and hearing this, like, if you deny Jesus, he'll deny you. There's a passage in Matthew that says something like that.
There's one in 1 Timothy 2, I think.
Yeah. And the idea of like, well, if I deny Jesus while under persecution, like if someone were to, the classic line,
right.
if someone were to put a gun to your head.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And say, if you, you have to deny Jesus or you'll die. What if someone made the wrong choice there? Is that the unforgivable sin? And I would say no. You look at Peter.
Yes.
He denied him not just once, but three times.
Yeah. And here's a good point to make. It's sin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bad thing to
sin.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah. And that just brings us back to, man, sin is sin is sin. And it is worthy of eternal separation, eternal ruin.
Yeah.
And praise God, there's forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's the point that I hope we end on, mm-hmm. In our minds and our hearts, is that the crazy thing isn't that there's an unpardonable sin. The crazy thing, man, is that there's forgiveness at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. How about this? Let's clearly and succinctly just clear this for anyone who's listening right now. If we were going to say, what is the unforgivable sin in a sentence, what would you say?
In my own, I mean, I think we've said it in great ways. Tyndale's yeah. quote we can end on as well. Yeah. But one way I've said it before is the unforgivable sin is the rejection of forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say the refusal of repentance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A sin that makes it impossible for you to repent is what I wrote down, because I thought that's, you know, that is in a sense a sin, and that is the one that makes, you know, it's not a thing that you can fall into. It's something that, man, if I were committing this sin, I wouldn't even care.
It's a state of your heart
yeah.
of like this lack of caring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This lack of recognition that the Spirit offers
yeah.
forgiveness.
If I was, you know, going to come to you and say, hey, I think you're committing the unforgivable sin, and you weren't, you'd be like, oh, you know, like, let's talk about it. But if you were,
like, I could be, I don't want that. Like,
if you were, you'd be like, I don't care. Like, I don't care what you have to say.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, that heart posture that you keep talking about.
And a sign that you don't have that, you know, that heart posture is when you hear about the possibility of an unforgivable sin, you're concerned that you've done it.
Yeah. I think every Christian is concerned about this, has some anxiety. Every true Christian feels this way.
Which is a sign.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a really good sign. It's saying, and I think that's something that we've all felt. I remember being in middle school and being afraid that I've committed this. I also had some bad ideas of what it was.
Yeah.
But how about this? Let's end with this. What are some comfort for those who believe that they've committed this, that are anxious about this?
Yeah, haven't. If you're anxious about it, you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a soft enough heart to think, man, I don't want to offend God. I don't want to refuse him and his desire to save me. Then you haven't. I mean, that's a state of your heart that is actually softened.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's still more room for repentance. And that's, I mean, praise God that he's always working on us to be sanctified and further repent. But that's a sign that you have a soft heart, that you're not rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit in your life.
Yeah. I just think of the start of that passage, right? All sins will be forgiven the children of man, whatever blasphemes they utter. Like, what a beautiful promise from God. Every sin can be forgiven.
Right.
Except for the, and then he goes into it, except for the one.
Rejection that, of that, it. rejection of forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you read Tyndale's quote one more time?
Yeah.
I think that's really good.
Yeah. He says this, the unforgivable sin is one which is resisting grace and fighting against mercy.
I love the resisting and fighting. It's not a one-time act. Right. It is a continual posture of your heart.
It's a lifelong approach to God and who he is.
That there's no reason it would change.
Yeah.
Once you die. We know that when we all die, we stand before Jesus. And your heart most likely won't change in the meantime, right? People in hell don't want God. That's why they're in hell.
Yeah. 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 The beautiful truth is, that we can hang our hat on. All sins will be forgiven. And that's, you know, that's the gospel in a sense, is that Jesus went to the cross to take your place. So that one day when you're judged, you'll be judged as Christ should be, right? Because he was judged as you should have been.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
We can have forgiveness because he got our justice.
Yeah. If every sin is the dishonoring of God, the rejection of his goodness, the refusal to see his holiness, you know, the long list of what sin is, praise God that he sanctifies us to see his goodness and see his holiness. And whoever is blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, committing the unforgiven sin, is, as you said, as Tyndale said, fighting against seeing the truth, resisting against seeing the truth of God's goodness and the beauty of the forgiveness he offers.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for listening. Thank you for submitting your questions. We love hearing them. Again, you can submit your questions to peacechurch.cc/questions, and have a good week.
You can find That's a Good Question at resoundmedia.cc or wherever you listen to podcasts.